you would please, and turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. That is Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Is that right? So right after Proverbs. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, actually A. This is likely to be the shortest text that I've at least ever preached here and likely will ever preach on ever again. My text this morning is actually four words only in the original text, the Hebrew. And Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1a says, "So, remember your Creator in the days of your youth." Let's pray together. Father, I pray that we would learn this morning from your word and from the wisdom of one whom you enlightened to write scripture for us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Father, forgive us when we forget you and convict us this morning to remember you always. In Jesus' name, amen. There was a couple that was going on vacation and they had their bags with them and they were running a little late at the airport. A couple years ago that was really critical because if you were a little late it took so long to go through security, and today it's not too bad. At Rochester you can go through in just a few minutes almost. But the husband was standing in line and they had all of their bags there to check at the counter. And the husband turned to his wife and said, "Man, I sure wish we'd have brought the piano." And she's like, the piano, what are you talking about? And he's, "We've already got 16 bags here. We're paying extra to check them all already." And he goes, "Well, I left the plane tickets on the piano." And, you know, forgetfulness is a problem. And, you know, you can forget things like to get your passport before you go to Taiwan. You can forget to call the pastor when you think you're leaving at 5:30 in the morning on Saturday, but it's actually 8 o'clock. And you can forget to call, and then someone waits a while. You can forget telephone numbers and addresses and to call people and to be places. You can even forget that there was a service change and that this morning there's a 10 o'clock service, just one instead of two as usual. But all of that pales in comparison with the challenge we have in our lives and the risk that we have of forgetting our Creator. And it's interesting that the writer of Ecclesiastes 12 doesn't even say remember God. He says remember your Creator, because it kind of brings it up a notch in that, yeah, He's God, but He made you, which means He's worthy to be remembered. It's amazing what we forget and what we remember. As I get older, I'm ever increasingly amazed at what I just don't remember anymore. I looked up to see what people forget the most. What do you think is the number one thing that people forget across the board in a survey? Number one thing people forget is names. Somebody said it, names. Number one thing. Number one thing people forget is names. Number two thing people forget is keys. Keys are another. Where something is, that's kind of like keys. Where something is. The number three thing that people forget is telephone numbers. The number four thing is words. They go, "Oh, what's that word for? I know that. What is that?" You've all done that. Number five is people forget what was said. Number six is they forget a face. And number seven, what of you hasn't done this, but can't remember something that you've just done? And that happens to me all the time. This week on our, last week on our mission trip in New Orleans, we went around every night and just a couple people and we spoke with them about their life and where they've been and what God has been doing in their lives. And then we asked almost everybody, not quite, but what advice would you have for someone else in this room or for a son or for a parent? And we took that advice. We took that advice because it matters. I'm especially this morning speaking to you graduating seniors who have just shaken the hand of Josh and been recognized by your pictures and applause. And I'm speaking to my daughter Lauren, and I think about this and I think, what would I say? If I had just 20 or 30 minutes to speak to seven people that were having a major life transition and moving from one phase of life to another, and some moving to Florida and some moving to the Twin Cities, what would I say? There's a lot of learning that you've done. You spent the last 13 years, most of you, in school. I read this week, this kind of amused me, but somebody did a study some years ago that they discovered that people, and students especially, forget 90% of what they've been taught 30 days later. 90%! If you were going to remember one thing, I want you to remember your Creator in the days of your youth. That's it. I want to remember God while you're young, because it's so much more difficult to bring back that relationship, to reinstall it, to walk away from God and turn back. And you're under the influence of your parents, most of you right now. I think all of you live at home and mom and dad go to church, and most of your parents do. And so they come and they bring you, and there's an influence there, and you get away from that, and it's easy to kind of forget about why you went, what it was about. I want you to remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Young people in the church today who are raised with a knowledge of God, the statistics of the dropout rate and the fallaway rate is really high. I think something like 60 to 70% of kids that went to church faithfully graduate from high school and never go back. Don't let that be you. First part of this verse is only four words, and Hebrew remember is zakar, and it says remember you, your Creator, the one who made you. You recognize the next word, yom, vayom, in the days, and lastly, of your youth, while you are young. I think Solomon knew what he was talking about. I think he looked back on his own life, and the first 11 chapters of Ecclesiastes are common. The word that comes to mind is futility. And this person went through his life, and he was rich and famous and wealthy and well-known, and people came to listen to his wisdom and all of this. And he went through 11 chapters of the book of Ecclesiastes, and he says, it's all worthless. It's what's the point? Why even be born? Why go through all the trouble and all the hassle? What's the point? It's all worthless. He comes to the last chapter and he zones in and he says, here's the whole point. Remember your Creator. One of the greatest challenges that people face in life is, do I matter? Do I make a difference? Does it matter that I live or die? Am I important? Everybody faces this challenge, especially you seniors. Do I make a difference in life? Is there any reason for my existence? The writer of Ecclesiastes spent a large amount of time retelling the futility of life or the apparent lack of importance thereof. No challenge for a young person is probably any greater than coming to terms with what is the purpose of my existence. Solomon's answer in the last chapter of this book, as likely the wisest man who has ever lived, was for you to remember your God while you are young. That's it. Well, what about money, Solomon? Give me some tips on money, because, I mean, you made a bazillion shekels with what you did and all the horse trade. You know, what about money? Why not go to verse 12:1 and say, okay, now here's the big deal. Be a really good middleman and be a good salesman, because that's how you really make a lot of money. What about money? What about health? I mean, what about the secrets of health, and how can I stay healthy and live longer and not be sick? Or what about relationships? Give me some relationship tips so I can get along with people better. Or what about the secrets of the universe? Tell me about how it works and where it comes from. What about that from the wisest man who ever lived? No, he said, remember your Creator while you're young. I plead with you to do that today. To even right now say, you know what, there's probably a tendency for me, like some other ones, to kind of relax in my walk with God, to kind of back up on that and get a few breaks and sleep in. And Sundays, sometimes it's late on Saturday night, I want to sleep in. I'm saying, boy, commit right now. Say, you know what? I'm going to remember God. I'm going to be there. I'm going to keep my relationship with Him alive and strong as I go to college and continue. Research has shown that people forget things for one of three primary reasons. Number one, they never got it in the first place. Doesn't mean they never heard it. It means they just never understood it. Never got it in the first place. Number two, they had it, but they lost it. And number three, they have it, but they can't find it. To remember something, you must acquire the information, you must keep it, and you must be able to retrieve it. Number one, acquisition. Have a relationship with God. You can spend a lot of time in church. You can grow up in church. Many of you that I saw up here probably have spent the first 18 years of your life, give or take, in church, in nursery, in Sunday school, in youth group. You can spend a lot of time in church, and you can do that and not know God. Someone said this, I didn't say this, but being in a church doesn't make you a Christian any more than being in a garage makes you a car. Right? Ask yourself the question this morning, have I acquired a relationship with God? Do I have anything to remember? Have I been to church for 18 years and missed the whole point? That it wasn't about checking off the fact that I was there and making my parents happy, but the reason they brought me because God is the most important being in the entire universe, and He demands all of my worship and all my praise, and everything I am and everything I have belongs to Him, and because of that I give Him my allegiance because He loves me and I love Him in return? Have you acquired a relationship with God? You cannot remember something that you never knew. It's kind of scary. The last verse of Ecclesiastes, the whole entire book, the very last verse says why. Solomon goes on, he says, remember your Creator. And then he goes through 8 verses of all of these things that you should remember before. Remember before you get old. Remember before your teeth fall out. Remember before you can't chew solid food anymore. Remember before your ears go dim. It goes all the way through this whole chapter and talking about that. It goes all the way to the end. And he says, now here's the summary of the whole thing. Fear God and keep His commandments. Very last verse of the very last part of this book. Because God brings every act to judgment, including every hidden thing, whether good or evil. Because there's going to be an accounting to give for it someday. Oh, I want that to be a glorious, marvelous day for you. That's the reason, right? The reason is God says, worship me. I made you. I demand your worship. You owe me your worship. I want your worship. I want to be in a love relationship with you. And if you don't, if you scorn that, if you rebel against that, that's really, really serious. And I will judge every thought, every deed, and every act one day. Acquisition. Have a relationship with God. Number 2, keeping. Don't lose a relationship with God. Now, most of you know me better than to think. I think most of you do. But you know me better than to think that I would suggest that anyone could lose their salvation. It just isn't a biblical, theological accuracy. It's a gift from God, and God is not a fickle giver. He does not change His mind, and He finishes what He started. And the Bible says that God will finish those things He started. It says that He's created us in Christ. He is to do good works, and He will see it through. But the Bible is also clear that a relationship with God lasts, and if it doesn't, it wasn't. Because God does finish what He started. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 19, the Apostle John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 19, way in the back there, I'll find it for you. 1 John 2:19. John says, they went out from us, but they did not belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. However, they went out so that it might be made clear that none of them belonged to us. John says they slipped away because they were just along for the ride. They were never a part of the fellowship of Christ to begin with. Oh, it might have looked like it. They might have even said all the things that people say that come to Christ. They might have even been in the Bible study. They might have even taught the Bible, but they left us and they abandoned their faith because they were never in it to begin with. Don't let that be you. Hebrews 6, verses 4 through 6 talks about this. We don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews, so I can't say so-and-so wrote, but in Hebrews chapter 6, beginning in verse 4, it says, it's impossible to renew to repentance those who were once enlightened, who tasted the heavenly gift and became companions with the Holy Spirit, who tasted God's good word and the powers of the coming age and who have fallen away because to their own harm they are re-crucifying the Son of God and holding Him up to contempt. Now, we don't believe that falling away means that they had their salvation, they lost it. We mean something like in 1 John where they were a part of the fellowship and they embraced it and they tasted the good things of God. And the writer of Hebrews says, like the land that drinks in the rain, they tasted the good things of God. And if you've been in this church for any time at all and all you seniors have, you've tasted the good things of God and you've seen God work and you've heard His message and you've seen some little miracles that have happened along the way and you've seen people around you blossom as they embrace their faith with God. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6, the point is, it is extremely difficult. They use the word impossible to revive that faith when someone experiences it and sees it with joy and says, oh, never mind, I'm going to walk away. And so Solomon says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, because if you were there and if you heard it and you walk away, it is so difficult for you to come back. Don't let that happen. Luke 9:62, Jesus says, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, it doesn't mean that he's in the kingdom of God, he's just not a really good fit, or he's in the kingdom of God, but his plowing doesn't look so good. What he's saying is it's impossible to be a part of the kingdom of God if you put your hand to the plow and see faith and understand faith and be a part of it and experience the goodness that comes from it, but not embrace it as your own. You've seen your face at crossroads because for the first time in your life, most of you will move away and leave and you'll live by yourself. And maybe mom or dad or the church or the pastor or Josh won't know if you're going to church or not. Won't know if you're in the Word of God. Won't know if you're struggling. Won't know if you fall and need some help. They won't know that. And you'll make that decision on your own. You're going to wake up one day, not too many weeks and months in the near future, and the decision is now yours and not your parents or your family or your youth pastor. Keep your relationship with God strong. Acquire it if you haven't acquired, and then keep it. Don't lose that relationship with God. And lastly, retrieval. Maintain a relationship with God. So many people have a mediocre, less than good relationship with God. They kind of dabble with their faith, and yes, they're a believer, but they really kind of play around. They're not real committed. And the problem is, if that's how your walk is with God, probably when you need it the most, it will fail you. My dad starts his diesel engines several times throughout the winter. He goes out there and he starts them all up to make sure everything's in running order and that everything is okay. And he has jumper cables that go from semi to semi to keep the batteries charged all winter long in case he needs those trucks or needs those batteries to be charged. And my guess is that Tim and Stuart and their crane operation out there, my guess is that they check the oil on those trucks, whether it needs it or not, because they want to know that the oil is there and ready and the engine's not going to fail. My guess is that most of you parents don't have your kids come home and you probably don't smell them to see whether or not they need a shower. You just kind of expect them that whatever it is, whether it's daily or twice a day or whatever, you just kind of expect them to take a shower. It's not, you don't take a shower just because you might smell. You take a shower because you want to be prepared and you want to be ready and you want to be clean. The rest of these verses in chapter 12 describe every aspect of life and every stage. And the writer says, remember God before all these things happen. Remember Him before adversity comes. Remember Him before the sun and moon goes dark. Remember Him when the guardians of the house tremble and strong men stoop and women who grind cease, when the watchmen are few, when the doors are shut, when the mill fades. He goes on and on and on. He says, remember God before all things happen. Commit right now to say, I'm going to embrace my faith. I'm going to remember God. I am going to acquire my faith and keep my faith and be able to retrieve it on a moment's notice throughout my life. It's so important to remember your Creator in the days of your youth. And don't fall into a trap of saying, well, at least I made a decision when I was young. Being a follower of Christ begins with a decision, but it becomes a way of life. You don't become a tennis player by deciding to be a tennis player. You don't become a tennis player by announcing that you're going to buy a tennis racket or go to the club. You pick up the racket and you play ball and then you're a player. By the way, whether you're good or bad, you might be an awful player, but if you pick up the racket and you go to the game and you play the game, you're a tennis player. That's what I want for you young people. I want you to pick up your faith. And I don't want you to say, you know, I made a decision, you know, I'm going to be that. I want you to pick up your faith, and I want you to walk with it daily. I want you to remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Jacob Brodsky was a shy Russian Jew whose father owned a bookstore. His father wanted him to go to college and get 4-year degrees so he'd have an education to fall back on. And the boy, on the other hand, he really didn't want to go to college. All he wanted to do was marry Lila, his childhood sweetheart. She was a French girl, and she was as vital and as ambitious as he was contemplative and studying. A couple of months after Brodsky went to college, his father fell ill and died, and so the son left college and returned home to take over the father's bookstore. And Brodsky moved into the apartment above the store. The life of books fit him perfectly. He loved it. He was a studious young man, but it cramped her style. She wanted more adventure, and so she found it. She thought because she met an agent who praised her for her beautiful singing voice, and he enticed her to go to Europe and to sing with a singing company, and Brodsky was devastated. At their parting, he reached into his pocket, and he handed her the key to the front door of the bookstore. And he said, you better keep this because you will want it someday. Your love is not so much less than mine that you can get away from it. You will come back someday and I'll be waiting. So she kissed him and she left to go on her singing tour. To escape the pain he felt, he withdrew deeply into his bookstore and he took to reading as someone else might have taken to drink or to drugs. He spoke little. He did little. And most times he found at the large desk near the back of the shop, he found himself immersed in books while he waited for his love to return. Nearly 15 years passed after they parted and it was Christmas time. And she did come back. When Brodsky rose from the reading desk that he had been placed at for so many years, from all the escape, from all the pain, he did not take the love of his life for more than just an ordinary customer who was at the door. Do you want a book? He asked her. The fact that he didn't recognize her startled her, but she gained possession of herself and replied, I want a book, but I've forgotten the name of it. And she told him a story of two childhood sweethearts, story of a newly married couple who lived in an apartment above a bookstore, a story of a young, ambitious wife who left to seek a career, who enjoyed great success but could never relinquish the key her husband gave her when they parted. She told him this story, and she thought that it would bring him to himself, but his face showed no recognition whatsoever. Gradually, she realized that he had lost touch with his heart's desire, and that he no longer knew the purpose of his waiting and his grieving. And now all he remembered was the waiting and the grieving itself. You must remember it, Lila told him. You must remember the story of Lila and Jacob. After a long, bewildered pause, he said, there's something familiar about the story. I think I've read it somewhere. Maybe it's Tolstoy. Lila dropped the key and she fled from the shop. As Brodsky returned to his desk and to his reading, unaware that the love he had waited for had come and gone, he was distracted from his relationship and numbed by so many distractions for so long, he was unable to face it and to respond to it when it was right in front of him. Teens, don't let that be your Christian walk. Don't walk away from God when you leave right now and you leave your parents' influence and think, I'll just come back anytime I want. Don't live apart from the grace of God for so long, so distracted by the world's cares and its pleasures, that you wouldn't recognize God if He showed up. Teens, remember your Creator. I plead with you, remember God while you are young. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need this word this morning, and it's from you, and I thank you for it. Father, I pray that you would keep our hearts and minds fresh in pursuit of a passionate love relationship with Jesus Christ. Father, if there is one this morning who has drifted in that relationship, who can barely even remember what it was like to have a passionate love relationship with God and to see truth and joy in the Bible, Father, even this morning, restore that person's joy in their heart. And Father, I pray for our teens. Father, I pray that they would have a firmly fixed, passionate pursuit of God in their hearts for the rest of their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.